Good morning. Welcome to Petaluma United Methodist Church's online service. Today is Sunday, August the 2nd, 2020. Welcome to all.
Please join me in the call to worship. The voice of the Holy is calling us to worship. This voice calls us to worship as one people. This voice calls us away from the worship of material things. This voice calls us to worship the wonderful God of love. This love is the glue that binds us together. This love will not go away. Come, let us worship with one heart, one mind, one voice, as we give our lives to love. Amen. The opening song is Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling.
Let's hear this call to confession that we share, that we receive together. When we speak our truth, we're able to clear our spirits of the guilt and shame we feel. Let us take a moment now, in silent prayer of confession, to share our truth with God's loving Spirit, to unburden ourselves, to give all our troubles over to the God of hope and life. Let us now take this moment of silence to pray in the Spirit. Amen. Friends, there's no greater joy than the sure knowledge that our burdens have been lifted in the love of Jesus Christ. We are all forgiven. Let us now turn and embrace the incredible grace of that forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Nonondele soni na matakongo sa kota mai nei vautibu na wase tulusu rua mai na rusu buka rua kina tulusu gondua vangu na kina rongo asa vavu tuku koya ena mbongi koya ka kautira na watina. Kere una non banda, kere tu non vena tangane e le tingandua. A sabutu sova, no udwei kuchapuki. A sakotira katalaira, mera butuko sova no udwei, ye satala kina tekandua na nonaka. A sati gundundu kuche kope, a sabi mungiti kaya induna tomata, kaya dhavana kinda ni mataka. E nisakunia kukoya sa sanga ningumu tuvua, asa tara na viutiri, na viuturi ndimbina, asa mabule na viuturi ndimbina, o che kope, nisa vimongeti, kaya tiko. Asa kaku koya, molebi umanda miulaku, nisa kinda na mataka. Asa kaku che kope, au nesenga ni leviko, kebuka ako senga, nibosa vakalunga tatakea umanda. Asa kaya vako koya, kudhine edhamu, asa kaya ko che kope, asakaya, ne sengani tibini adhamu kwa chekope, kwa isireli nga, ni kusaka uko wana kluu, kira na tamata, kako saa ngomutua. Asataranga kwa chekope, muni tukuna maivi yao na adhamu ni, asakaya kukoya, adhaba kwa sataranga kina na adhamu, Asaba saba kala motete ki koe mai kia. Asaba kotoka ko te kope na e sana koe ako pinueli. A mata ni kalou. Ni kero sabe kune kina kalou. I kou sa mboletiko. Asa dhanrabu a mata ni singa. Ni sa lago tani mei pinueli. Asa logi logi tiko endimbina. O koe a resanga ni kania kina. Na ua mene vi utiri ni dimbi. Koe rani sireli. Kai dhaba na ngonongo. Ni satara kukwea na ua mene viuturi ni ndimbi chekope. Ingubwa bakalo tataka na kalu na nono vasa na rongo dharawa njindai. Amen.
Our first scripture reading is Genesis 32. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip.
Jesus, I've been following you so long. Like it ought to be somewhere. I say the words, I try to live the life. Still I'm falling through midair. I know there's holy ones, I've seen them do their work. No, I'll never measure up. But when the tide is out and I'm reaching for the book, I hear the whisper gospel say, "Rest in grace is the only way to stay. Rest in grace. If they wanna serve the poor, my God, it's time we took a stand for love and lived your word out loud and proud. Rest in grace is the only way to stay. Rest in grace. Way.
somewhere between the mall and love's sway. Let's do the good that you would have us do. Pick up the cross, not count the cost. Rest in grace is the only way to stay. Rest in grace and live the way you pray. Let go of the product, don't worry what you say. Just rest in grace and go God's way. Just rest in grace and go God's way.
Our second reading is from Matthew 14. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children.
Good morning, friends. I greet you on this second day of August. And here we are, some 20 weeks, I think, into this quarantine season. But I want to lift up with joy and gratefulness all the people who make this worship podcast happen. Those who are leading in worship today, and those behind the scenes who are editing and making it sound good. Thank you all for helping this to happen. It's appreciated by all of us. But I wanted to ask you today a question that might sound a little strange. Have you ever wrestled? I know when we had gym class when I was a kid, there was always a time when we wrestled. You know, honestly, I was never much of a guy for fighting or physical conflict. I was that guy who wrote poetry and was in drama club and played guitar. I didn't really get into fights much and really didn't even argue that much. But when the time for gym class wrestling came, well, it didn't much matter what I felt like doing. We were going to wrestle. Theoretically, of course, you got matched up with kids your own size, but it didn't always work out that way. So there I was in eighth grade, and it came time for the wrestling matches. I got matched up with this guy twice my size. I mean, he was big. He was mean. They called him the horse. You know, in wrestling, in order to win the match, you have to pin your opponent to the mat by making sure both shoulders are touching the floor. Well, let's just say it was kind of a pathetic match, but there was one thing. I did not want to be humiliated by this guy. So, as the match started and it was pretty clear he could throw me around as much as he wanted, I determined that I was just going to keep moving, wiggling, and squirming and refuse to allow him to pin me. He was stronger, he was bigger, and the more I wiggled and squirmed, the angrier he got. Well, in the end, they scored the match and he did win by points, but I got to keep my dignity. I got to keep my pride. It was an epic struggle, and it's one that I remember to this day. Now, honestly, it's my point of view here that we all wrestle. All of us. We all wrestle somehow or some way in the living out of our days. It can be that physical type of wrestling, like I experienced as a youth. It can be wrestling with our jobs. It can be wrestling with someone emotionally. It can be wrestling with a problem, like the scientists today are wrestling with trying to find a way to keep us safe from COVID-19, or it can be wrestling with a moral or ethical issue, whether that's at your job or home or church or in the street. We can wrestle. And today we have two scriptures that describe different kinds of wrestling. We have Jacob, who wrestles with God and wiggles and squirms throughout the whole night and won't quit, won't let himself be defeated. I think a lot of us wrestle with God also. Now, we wrestle with who God is for us. We wrestle with listening for God's voice. We wrestle with how to pray and be church in a time when merely gathering could be fatal to some in our community. We wrestle. And then there's, the wrestling match we see in this passage from the Gospel of Matthew. Most of us know this story. It's the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. It's commonly called a miracle story. Well, yeah, I guess it is. And if perhaps you haven't heard it before, but if not, we have all been blessed with the powerful readings we just heard, both in Fijian and English. So this big crowd gathers to hear Jesus teach. And he teaches into the day, and it's coming on mealtime. And Jesus' disciples start getting a little nervous because they're out in the middle of nowhere, and they have nothing to feed these people. Things they are thinking could get ugly. So they pulled Jesus aside and said, "Look, we better call it a day because we don't have anything to feed these people." And he said, "This is an isolated place, as it says in the scripture, and it's getting late. Send the crowd away so they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Doesn't say this in the text, friends, but I have this image that they were getting a little nervous about what hungry people might do if they learn there's nothing to eat. But Jesus pauses and he says, "There's no need to send them away. You feed them." And again, scripture does not describe what very well must have been some surprised, astonished look on the faces of the disciples. "What? Us? Feed 5,000 people? Are you kidding?" And then they find their voices and they say to Jesus, "Yeah, but we have nothing here except 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus, and again, this isn't in the text, but it's my imagination. I see Jesus rolling his eyes, sighing, and then he says, "All right, bring them here to me." So we know that somehow the crowd got fed and there was food left over. Now, I'm not going to go into the different ways that this could have happened. I'd rather talk about the wrestling match that was taking place in the hearts of those disciples. As they noticed time passing and the size of the crowd, as I said, they begin to worry that they couldn't manage this. They begin to fret over what might happen. They figured the only way out of this potential disaster is just end the day, get rid of them. But Jesus won't let this pass. He says again to them, "You feed them." And it was here that they got pinned to the mat. It was here that they lost the match. They lost the wrestling match of the power of spirit and faith versus the power of fear and a world of border walls and limitations. They gave in to what they could not imagine or dream was possible. Jesus showed them a miracle. And friends, I'm not trying to say one way or the other, again, what happened, whether a smoke and mirrors magic trick or things dramatically appearing. I think, frankly, it was the capacity of Jesus to imagine and to dare the people to dream, to dare the people, to dare the people to be generous. That's what fed the people that day. Do you ever wrestle? Do you ever wrestle with what cynics call reality? I've asked this question before. One of the phrases I've heard in my life more than several times goes something like this: Pastor Schuyler, get real. We wanted to start an immigration clinic at a church I served, and we needed $60,000, $60,000 to hire an attorney. Pastor Schuyler, get real. We can't raise that kind of money. And the voice of Jesus could be heard whispering into the spirits of the church members, saying there's no need to send our sisters and brothers away in their time of need. You raise that money. You raise that money. My friends, we did it. And we did it in just a few weeks. In New York City, we felt a call to restore our decrepit old church that was built in 1865. And the realists were saying, this costs too much. We can't do that. Well, I'll make a long story short, we did it. And it was beautiful. We did it because as a community, we stopped wrestling with a world that wants us to be afraid of failing. We stopped struggling with a cynicism that wants us to think we cannot possibly feed 5,000 people. A world that wears a leash of limitations rather than going for a free romp in the fields of possibilities and dreams. Friends, Jacob wouldn't quit. All through that night, he kept squirming, even after God tore a tendon in his leg. He limped away, though, having seen the face of the Holy. And Jesus, though a little vexed at the lack of vision and imagination, released the power of people when they were driven by hope and compassion and love. And when you're driven by that, friends, you can feed 5,000 people. So let me ask, what is it that you are wrestling with today? In this time, in this day, in this moment, what is it that you struggle with? What negative, cynical force is trying to pin your hopes and dreams to the mat? Whatever it is for you, I want to call you to think like Jacob and not give up. Whatever or wherever your struggle or whatever you're wrestling with, do not let go of the power of imagination and dreaming. For those are the things at the end that will change the whole world. Right now, friends, we could sigh and sit down and say that we're shut down, closed down, restrained by this pandemic. We could put a sign up that says, closed until further notice. We could put it on our website. We could put it everywhere. Or we could take these two examples and keep on wrestling through the night. We can listen to the voice of Jesus saying, you feed them. You know, I don't know, friends. Just a moment of candor here. I have no idea when or in what form we're going to be able to come together for in-person worship and Bible study and ministry again. We're looking into possibilities, and we have great leadership team doing that. But to be honest, we're seeing numbers of infections rising at an alarming rate here in Sonoma County. So I don't know when we'll sit in the pews again. But I do know that the crowds are out there in this time of isolation, and they are hungry. More than that, they're starving. And friends, we need to feed them. In this moment, we are the hands, the heart, and the feet of Jesus Christ, who calls us to feed the people who are spiritually starving to death. Some of them literally starving to death. Jesus calls us to unleash our imagination and our capacity to dream and to envision. Jesus calls us, as the hymn we sang last week says, o'er the tumult, saying, Christian, follow me. So whether we develop some drive-by visitation teams to check on people, or whether we build new Bible studies and covenant groups on social media platforms, or whether we find financial ways to support folks who have lost jobs and homes. Friends, right now, in this moment, the way we are, there is a hunger, and we are asked to provide the food. But you know what brings me joy? It's your powerful love. What brings me hope is your commitment and your faith. What makes my heart swell is the possibilities and the wonder that are before us, and they are many. So let's keep wrestling, whether it with our own individual things in our lives, or whether it's us as a community. Let us not give up. Let's step forward with wonder and with a true faith that knows anything is possible through Him who loves us. The journey may not be easy, friends, but it will be full of joy and power, and we will walk the path together. Amen. Though it is perhaps strange to celebrate Holy Communion while we are in different locations, it is right and wonderful for us to do. Come, let us prepare our hearts to receive the Blessed Sacrament. Let us pray. Sisters and brothers, let us embrace the wonderful God who is with us in this moment. Holy, holy, holy God, God who transforms power and might, blessed are you and blessed are those who come in your name. For you are the creative one who weaves the universe and all that is in it into a sumptuous tapestry of interconnected life. Not only did you create us and loved us, you loved us so fully that you gave your only begotten Son to come among us as one who knew the powers of joy, of love, of forgiveness. This Son, this Jesus, walked in our midst not to judge but to liberate, not to shake an angry fist but to embrace with life-giving love. In resisting the hatred and greed of this world, the world sought to be rid of Jesus. So the powers and the principalities had him arrested, tortured, and executed, all because he was guilty of limitless love. And on the night before this painful journey began, Jesus sat down with his friends and followers to share the Passover meal. In the midst of this meal, Jesus stopped. And he took the bread from the table and broke it. And he looked at his followers and he said, "Take this and eat. For this is my body, which will be broken for you." Then again, at the close of the meal, he paused. He picked up the cup of wine, and he lifted it up, and he blessed it, and he said to his followers, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood, which will be shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Each time you do this," he said, "do it in remembrance of me." And here we are sheltering from a pernicious virus. Here we are challenged and tired. Here we are beloved and cherished by this God who gave everything in Christ Jesus for our redemption. So as we share this meal, we do indeed remember. We remember that we are Christ's body, called to heal the world. We remember that we are the ecclesia, those called out to teach others this way of love. We remember and we pray above all that we do not allow our lives together to become a mere acting out of religious sentiment. No, no. We remember Jesus and we commit to being the authentic community of faith, the very body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we pray, pour out your Spirit, your Holy Spirit upon us, O God. Pour your Spirit upon this cup, this bread, so that as we feast on this, we surely feast upon your powerful, self-giving love. It is our prayer that you will send your blessing upon us and on this meal, as we commit anew to being your church in this difficult time. Give us hope. Give us laughter. Give us courage to do the things that are just and right. We pray this in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Sisters and brothers, as we celebrate with joy the chance to worship, we celebrate the friendships and commitments and connections we have. We strive to continue to be the church, and your gifts continue to matter all the more. So in this moment, I'd like you to take a moment to think and pray about your tithe and your pledge and the giving that we need to do to continue to do the work of the worldwide church and the work of Petaluma United Methodist Church. We have possibility for giving online. You could, of course, write a check and send it to the church. There are many ways that we are working to make it possible to do this. And I thank you in advance for your incredible generosity, for the work is done because we care. Let us pray. Holy God, we offer the gifts that come from the labor of our hands, knowing that it all came from you in the first place. We ask that you bless these gifts so that we might, with passion and power, with joy and wonder, do the work you have called us to do. So dedicate these gifts, dedicate us in your service. We ask this in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we come to the closing time of this worship podcast, and we go into our lives again. Let us go with the full knowledge that we are beloved of a mighty God. Let us go with the complete trust that this God will not fail us. And let us go claiming the power of authentic Christian community as we rise up to serve the people and to build community in Jesus' blessed name, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.